We left over yesterday discussing the sheet of Shmuel, and we had a steer in Shmuel's position. Right? Shmuel seemed to indicate that there were times when you could have the claimant, the creditor, come and take the property, but he'd have to reimburse for the sheva towards the lokeach. We have another statement by Shmuel which says that the creditor comes and goveh takol, he takes everything, including the sheva, and lokeach is left with nothing. So Gemara's first suggestion at a solution was that it had to do with what type of shevach we're talking about. Was it shevach ha-magia the kitfayim? Or is it shevach shalom magia? A magia the kitfayim. Difference between one type of shevach, and we saw three different interpretations, Rashi, the Ri, and the Rebbeinu Tam, about what that meant. But in general, it was the difference between a shevach, right, that either belongs to the property or is not attached to the property, that he put effort into, he didn't put effort into. Those differences. And the Gemara says, wait a minute, but we know that Shmuel paskins, matzim b'chol yom, that Shmuel paskins and goes ahead and says that he takes away from the lokeach, even shevach hamagia the kitfayim. So that can't be the solution. So the Gemara says, lokasho, right, that started at the top of Tzadik Vav and Aleph, had a mesik beit shir ara, shifacha, had a mesik beit shir ara. Right? So the Gemara just says, it's simple, it has to do with how big a debt is outstanding. Has to do with the creditor. If the creditor has a debt that's outstanding that's greater or equal to the land plus the shevach, he can take the entire amount. If he only has a debt outstanding against the land itself, then he has to reimburse the lokeach for the shevach that he takes. But he's not necessarily entitled to keep the shevach because it's in excess of the claim that he's making. So he says back to him after asking this question, he says back, v'hanichu d'man damar. This explanation of Shmuel, right, that makes sense. Ravashi and Ravina discussing it. Right? This explanation, Ravina says to Ravashi, makes sense. That even if you have money, you don't have an ability to push away the Baal Chov. I mean, the Baal Chov, the creditor can come and take the property, whether or not you have money to pay him. It's not your choice. He can grab the collateral and say, I'm taking the collateral. And you can't say, listen, I have cash here. Let me pay you cash and leave me alone. If you don't have that, he doesn't believe this opinion, doesn't believe that everything works well. Where it doesn't work well is according to one who says that if he has money, he can tell the Baal Chov, take the money, leave my land alone. Then, lay my leg. Then what can he say to him? If I had money, have a misal kina lecha mikulei ara. I could push you away from the land. Meaning that all I have to do is pay you the money that you are owed, and I can keep the land. Supposing that the land is equal to, the creditor can pay him off. Hashta havli griva da aro, shior shvachai. Leave me at least a piece of land that is equal to my shevach. Meaning that why should you have a claim against the shevach? Why should you have the ability to come take the shevach? The only thing that you're really entitled to is the land. That was just collateral. So if I pay you money equal to the land, right, then you actually have no more claim here. So why should you come here and grab away my shevach also when I can just pay you off and you'll be out of the picture? So leave me at least my shevach. Leave me a piece of land that's equal to my shevach. So I'm alei, I'll put my skin on. What are we doing? The case over here? Gondi shavi ni alei aputiki. Then he made it a directed collateral. It wasn't found that this was one field, one of his many properties that were encumbered to the loan that he had a lien on, but rather it was a directed lien, and since it's a directed lien, when you have a directed lien, then basically it becomes money equivalent, and he can take the land. I mean, that's basically his payment, because he says, this is my directed collateral, I'll go in and I'll take it, whether or not, right, you want to pay me money, not pay me money, this is my payment guaranteed for the loan, I'm going to take it. You don't have that option to say to him, take this money and leave me alone. Because it's not really the case. In this case, this property is really the main property and the major compensation that he's going to get for his loan or that outstanding loan. So now, either according to either opinion, you won't have, right, this issue of him making a claim and saying, why are you taking the sheva? You can only take the land because in either case, we say to him, you don't really have a choice. The person, the buyer, the lokeach, doesn't really have any choices here because the land isn't really his, in the sense that he hasn't directed lien, he hasn't put the key on it, he hasn't put the key on it. That was already super encumbered to his loan, and when you bought it, you knew you took that risk. So when he took that risk, when he comes and takes it back, he's going to take everything, the aron
u'shvacha. But then, does that mean if he doesn't have to give him a specific piece of land?
According to the opinion, if it sounds like you would have a valid claim. Yeah. If you have the ability to pay him off, then you could push him away with that. Amar Rava. Gazal v'yishbiach umachar. Gazal v'yishbiach v'horish. So the gazlan went ahead and he was mishbiach the property, and then he sold it. Or he stole it, he improved the property, and then he was morishit. He gave it down as Yerusha to his children. Mash shishbiach machar, mash shishbiach horish. Whatever improvements he made, he sold, and whatever improvements he made, he gave over as a Yerusha. Not clear what Rava's statement means. Rashi brings two interpretations or two possibilities about what Rava's statement means. One possibility is that this Gemara is following, like we said before, Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, Mashu b'shviach machar, if you look at Mashu, means v'shakil okeach mechta o shlish o revia. V'chein yoresh. That the buyer has the same rights as the gazlan. So what's the din of the gazlan? The gazlan is that he's koneh k'shat ha'gzelah. So the time of gzelah is koneh. What is in excess afterwards, the shevach that he creates afterwards? We had a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. What exactly should be the status? Rabbi Yehuda says the gazlan keeps all the shevach. Rabbi Shimon says no, that you get a percentage in the property, as if he's the manager of the property. He has to give the shevach back to the nigzal, but on the other hand, he gets paid for the value that he generated over here, depending on the minhag medina. Pays him 50, 33, or 25% of it. So that right, or that zchut that lokeach has, he sold. Or he gave to his yorshim, right? He sold to them the lokeach, or he gave to the yorshim, so they can come back to the same claim. We own the property now. Plus, we own a percentage of the sheva, because the gazlan sold it. And the nigzal, we're going to come, and then you can actually have a different, the question, or we'll see in a second what the nigzal can do. The other possibility, Rashi says, Ninami kule shvacha, kivmatisim bnei takana shechazim. That actually the lokeach keeps the entire shevach, and the yoresh keeps the entire shevach. Now this is based on takanat teshavim. Now takanat teshavim, we only saw this once, something similar to this, which was on study Dalit, Amud Aleph, when Abaye was bringing the numerous opinions about whether shinoi b'mkom omed or no eno b'mkom omed. There we had the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. And Shimon Elazar's opinion is actually premised on the fact that and his position was that you can say to the Balim, here it is. If it goes down in value, take back your item, because that was never koneh. On the other hand, he had a strange opinion that if it increased in value, that the gazlan can keep it. But if you say that shinoi b'mkom omed, why is he keeping it? He should have to give it back to the Balim. So what he said, no, because we've made takanat teshavim. So that takanat teshavim was about this idea of increasing value in property. And the takanat teshavim is that when you increase the value of the property, that you keep that increased value, because otherwise you wouldn't do tshuva. That's part of this takanat teshavim. So now, despite the fact that we don't necessarily hold shinoi b'mkom omed, but you see here that the Rambam and others were tofet this idea of takanat teshavim, that this increased value does have a concept of takanat teshavim surrounding it. It's a much bigger scope of takanat teshavim than the merisht, which is brought in Gittin as a tikkun olam, which is something understandable where you compensate for it. Here, you're keeping everything, and he's going to keep the entire sheva, right, without having to compensate for it at all. That is, mitnei takanat teshavim, the gazlan keeps it in its entirety. So that's what Rashi says, that the other possibility is mitnei takanat teshavim, that he keeps the entire value of the sheva. Right, that's a or the other possibility is that that's like she does, right, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you keep the entire Shevach, and the Gazlan's entitled to the Shevach. One of those two options, but Rashi brings it to Kanat HaShavim. So one of those two possibilities is what Rava is saying here. Now, by Rava, Hishbiach Lokeach Mahu. So the two cases where Rava made a statement is where the Gazlan himself increased the value of the property. If the Gazlan increases the value of the property, then you have either Takanat HaShavim, which applies, because you're talking about the Gazlan and Smol, or you're talking about the possibility of him getting a percentage of the property, because he's the Gazlan and he took it. So what's the din by Lokeach? But the Debaya, after you ask the question, out of Pashto, Ma Machar Rishon L'Sheni, Kos Chuch Tzvalu Yado. What did the first, meaning the Gazlan, what did he sell to the Lokeach? He sold him whatever rights that he had. What rights does the Gazlan have? So just like the Gazlan, if he improves the property, he keeps a percentage of that improvement. So too, the lokeach, he improves the property, he gets that same percentage, according to Rabbi Shimon. So according to Rabbi Shimon, that ability, that right to keep a percentage of the improvement in the property, that belongs to the gazban, and the gazban can sell that to the lokeach. The lokeach has the same zchus as the gazban. Right? And therefore, when he comes, the balara will come. The balara will take everything. Right? The balara is going to come and take everything back. He's going to have to compensate in cash the lokeach for the shevach, that extra amount of shevach, the percentage of shevach, whether it's a shlish, rivia, or mechza. He's going to have to pay out from the nigzal himself. He'll take the arash, shevachayot, take the whole bank, and then in cash, he'll make payment to the lokeach. Then the lokeach will go after the gazlan for the keren, for the arah itself, for the stuff that he sold him, not that before the improvement, but after the improvement, he'll go after the gazlan. So now,
what's the question? I mean, it's like any
lokeach. Right. Well, that's what the Gemara says. It's not. That's what Rava says. Rava says, Mamach Arisha Meshani, that's the general principle in Mechira, that you can sell whatever rights you have, you sell. And the Gazlan's right is to have a portion on the Shavach. So he can sell that right to the lokeach. And the lokeach gets the same right.
The
Havmin is what David is saying, which is that, why should the Kanat Shavim apply to the lokeach? Should have no bearing on the lokeach. The answer is that that's the gazlan's right, and he sold that to the lokeach. That's the answer to the Gemara. Alright. Bai Rava, Ishbiach Oved Kochavim Mahu. What happens today? Oved Kochavim did the improvement here. Amalei Ravacha Mizipti Ravina, Takanta Oved Kochavim Niko Ben Havut. I mean, we don't make Takanat Tashavim. Takanat Tashavim is a din in, right, Jews. It's a din for Jews. To do Tshuva, we don't establish such a Takana when it comes to non-Jews. So that can't be the issue here. If a ganav oved kachamim comes along, we're not going to have a takanat shavim for him. So, v'amar lei lo tricha kagon de zavnei lisrael. No, he sold it to a Jew. So, haba machmat oved kachamim harehu oved kachamim. I mean that what happens here? You have a oved kachamim that was stole, was because line he stole from a Jew, and then he sold it to a Jew. So you have a Jew on both ends and oved kachamim emsa. Now, Rava's principle before said what? Ma machar rishon l'sheni kos chut shetuvah liyadot. Well, guess what? If the other kofim is the gazlan, he has no chut to sell to him. So again, he has nothing to pass on to the lokeach. The question should be moot. Look, tzricha kagon the gazal Yisrael, right? V'zavna ni'alei. So then a Jew sold it. When the gazlan was a Jew, he sells it, right? V'zavna ni'alei v'ishbicha ovid kachavim. He sold it to a non-Jew. He sold it to an kachavim who improved the property. And then another Chachamim went afterwards and then sells it to another Jew. My, me, Armina gave it to me, Kar Yisrael, Vazar Yisrael. Right, so in the beginning it was a Jew, the Gazlan was a Jew, so Takanat Shavim would apply. Number two is, in the end it ends up in the hands of a Jew again. So therefore, Avdei Rabbanan Takanto. So the Takanat Rabbanan would stand in that case. So the Gazlan sold his chut to the Ovid Chachamim, it was latent when it was with the Ovid Chachamim. When the Ovid Chavim goes again and sells it to a Jew, it reopens that schut that the Gazlan originally sold. My, me, I mean, it came into me, Koy Yisrael, whether it's of the Rabbanat Kanto, Dilma, came into me, Ovid Chavim, Bam, so the Ovid Rabbanat Kanto. Or maybe, once the Gazlan himself sells it to an Ovid Chavim, and he cannot sell the schut Shabiyado of Takanat Shavim to the Ovid Chavim, because that schut is only applicable to Yisrael. So he doesn't have the ability to sell it to Ovid Kachamim. Once he couldn't sell it to Ovid Kachamim, when Ovid Kachamim goes ahead and then sells it to a Jew, he's selling the rights that he has, which is not including Takanat Shavim. So I said, Teiku, we don't have an answer to that. We don't know how the Takanat Rabbanan was established, whether it survived. Basically, the question at hand is, does it survive the ownership of a non-Jew? If there's a non-Jew in the middle, can it survive that ownership and lay latent until it comes back to a Jew? Or once there's no Bikachamim, it cuts off. There's a Tana that we don't know.
If it was the guy that stole it and then sold it to a Jew, in my case, then what recourse does the Jew have if it was Mashbiach?
If the Lokeach was Mashbiach, what recourse he has is nothing. There's no recourse for Gazlan Sheva. He only has recourse for the Gazlan regarding the Mecha.
We have no concern about Lokeach. I mean, we have a Takana to Shavim, but we don't have a Takana to protect the Lokeach.
Right. It's also discussed on the earlier draft, it's also discussed that it might be, and this is also the Shita, that the Shevach that we're talking about here is the Shevach in excess of the Yitziyot. the shevach in excess of his expenditures. So he would get compensated for his expenditures. He would not get the excess amount. When we're talking about shevach here, Rashi seems to indicate shevach zakol. Shevach includes the yitziyot. In that case, the lokeach is really out a lot of, could be out a lot of money, and that doesn't seem so fair, right? We have a general, it's kind of the shuk, which is that at least the lokeach usually gets some money back. We don't allow this, otherwise people wouldn't have transactions, people wouldn't have any recourse. According to the way Tosfos explained it, it makes sense. Now here we're done with the shevach in excess of the yitziyot. The lokeach is not out. He has a claim for the yitziyot. So that his expenditures he has a claim for, he has a claim for the land, so he's out, the extra shevach, the extra shevach will be on his field. So that's not so bad. At least there he's getting all his money back out of the party, so I think there you could understand what the issue is, what the situation is.
But when you assume that he had a proper title search, he would have a problem?
Right, there is something wrong here. We saw that in yesterday's daf. He's not necessarily a chuteh, he's not necessarily a but he's a shogeg. He does nest in a shogeg, but we did see that, in that case, the knas, according to Rabbi Meir, was established when there was a shogeg. And you have to ask whether, according to Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda, when he's a shogeg, whether it's an application of the knas of shavim. Do we protect him in that situation? What are we trying to protect when he should have done a better job? Again, according to Tosfos, it's much less of an issue because he's getting compensated for the expenditures. According to Rashi, because it's a kol shevach, then it's much harder to understand, you know, how we're protecting him. He might have a claim against Ovi Chachavim. I don't know what his exact claim against Ovi Chachavim is. The Gazlan, he can go back to the Gazlan, claim for the, you know, for the land that he sold him. Maybe he can make a claim against the Shevach when it comes to an Ovi Chachavim. I don't know. Amar Rav Papa, I'm on the Gazal Dikla Mechabre. Person who steals a dikla, a palm tree from his friend, because lay. Now the word katlei, according to Rashi, says because it's so, he cut it down. Wait, Tosfos learned it, and he asked a question about it. Katlei sounds like he actually, like he cut it to the point where it's not useful anymore. It's not able to be replanted. Even though he moved it from that land where it was planted to his land. Now here it sounds like he replanted the palm tree in his own land. Now the problem is that the word that's used here of katlei, katlei means to kill. And so Rashi loosely says cut and sow, so maybe you can call it uprooting, although I would understand that, you know, misharesh, or something like that he uprooted and then planted in his property.
Misharesh doesn't mean plant, it means throw.
Right. I mean, so throw is a place back. There are others, but I saw some explanations of Shadja being to replant. But I think it makes more sense that he just placed it or he put it in his land, right? Shadja means to place it in his land. Although you see from the Gemara, it's a little bit questionable why it should matter. I mean, that it should matter. It should sound like that it should, indeed he did replant it. Alright, Lokani. He was Pakponet, Maitamo, Mikara Dikla Mikre, Ashtanami Dikla Mikre. Before it was a palm tree, now it's a palm tree, there is no Shinoi in the palm tree to be. Now, what do we have? We have a principle that we established before, that if the item is the original item, you have to be Shiva Zikzela, Ashay Gazal. You have to return the item that you stole. Whereas if it's changed, if you change the item that you've stolen, then you pay the Kesev. So over here, it was a Dekel, and now it's a Dekel. So he has to return the dekel. He can't pay him money. He has to return the dekel. Now, my time, Mikar Dikla Mikre, Ashtanami Dikla Mikre, Dikla Ba'avid Gube. If he took the dekel and he made it into gube, he made it into logs, right? Either he made it into logs, or the way Rashi explains it, he calls them, it sounds like they're chuliot, the gube. Right, so it's a shatism. Sorry, not Rashi. It says chuliot. Chuliot are, you know, vertebrae or sections, which sounds like he sliced the tree into sections. Although the word gobi, if I looked up in the Jasper, said that it was locked. But either way.
Aruch says katim.
Right, cuts. I mean, slice, but that could be either way. It could be a log or a slice. So either way, he changed the name of the dekel. Lokani. Again, he's not going to. Why? Mehasta mia gobi de dikla mikre. Because they're still called palm tree slices or palm tree logs. I mean, the same dekel is still around there. Now, gobi. This is what you're asking us to be. If he takes the logs and the slices and makes them into beams, then kani. Then he's kone. Why? Because he's changed the status. He's lost the shame dekel from it. Once he's lost the shame dekel from it, then he's actually changed it, and he only has to compensate with money and not with the object itself. It's written in the object itself. Kishure rabere, if he takes these large beams, Vavdino Kishure Zutri makes them into small beams, so kani. Sorry, right. I mean, he stole the large beams and then he makes them into smaller beams, lo kani. In that case, he's not kone because, again, they're still called kishure, they're called beams. Or large, they have an adjective associated with which is large and small, but they still are beams. And since he hasn't changed the name, it's the shivat gazela sher gazal. Alright, Avdino Kutsutsaita, if he stole these kishure, he made them into boards, he made these beams into boards, kani. In that case, he is Kone, because again, change the name is a Shinoi Shem here, or there's a change, enough of a change in the item, that it's not considered a classified anymore, it's a Shiva to Zela Asher Gazel. Avar Ava, Haiman, the Gazel Buliva, Vavinun Hutze. Person who steals a lulav, basically, and then makes it into Hutze. Hutze means that he basically rips off all the leaves from the spine. Basically separates off the leaves from the spine. If he does that, Kone. They make Kara Luliva, before it was called a lulav, make great, Mahashta Hutze. Now it's called, I don't know, you call them like palm leaves, or you call them, you know, separate, what? It's separated out basket leaves. I don't know what they call them. It's here. Then, Hutzi, he takes the separate leaves, but Binunug Chupia, he makes it into a broom, Kani. Then he's Koneet, right? Because Mikara Hutzi, Rashi Chupia. Before they were called Hutzi, and now they're called Chupia, they're called a broom. You've changed the name of the item, you changed the status of the item. So if you've stolen Hutzi, make it into a Chupia, you've done something that changes it from leaves to a broom, and therefore you won't be with Shiva to compensate him. Chupia, you got a broom, but Avde Sharshora, and then you made them into rope. You took the broom and then you made this stuff into rope, low cunning. Why? Why is he not going to hear? My time was a Hadda Sakale. Babi Chupia. He can just undo the rope, he can undo what he tied, and then it'll go back to being a broom again. So it's no problem. Why do you have to, you don't have to return it? So now, I mean, you have to return it because you haven't changed the status, you haven't changed the name of the item. Therefore, if you stole a chupia and then you made it into a sharshura, you got to turn it back, or you can just pull the string off or pull the rope off. However you make these into rope, you undo it, and then you return it in the rope. So therefore, you have to save it to be
lesser. Tanakama on our Mishnah. Tanakama on our Mishnah says that even if you're the Rabbana, right, what
did it say? The Hadar Briyato, that's only according to Bayek. It explains that the Hadar Briyato, that is the Tanah of the Shavim. But we saw the conclusion of the Gemara with the Yochanan, that his Shiv Zila Asher Gazal is the Dindo, right? So it's only in a case where it is the actual Zila the way it was.
Uh-huh.
Whereas if you've done effort, made effort, you made changes into it, right, then that are not close to the Briyato, then we invoke the possibility of takanat, or the principle of Rebbe, and then we also have the principle of takanat shavim, that even when there's not a change, but it involves, the undoing involves a loss, a huge loss, like undoing a whole building, or a bira, then we don't tell you. Even when it's hadar b'yato, we say there's takanat shavim, that's the gemara, that's the takanat merish from Gitin, and that would apply over here too. I don't think, I'm assuming here that their assumption is that when he puts it into rope, and he undoes it, back to a chupia, that's not an extensive big deal, you're not affecting anything else besides the broom itself, you're not affecting other items. If it was built into some large item, then you would have takanat
shavim. Hanging from it.
Right, if it's holding up something that was, if you took it apart, it would be a big deal, then you would have takanat shavim. All right, Baira Papa, Nechmukat Yomet Mahu. This brings us to Sukkot. What happens if Nechmukat sounds like it's split, the Tiyomet split, what's the din? Tashma. Damar of Mato, number of Shuv and Levi, Nitmah HaTiyomet Pasul. If the tiyomet is totally missing, it's pasul. If you take out the tiyomet, it's pasul. So my love, what would you think here? Hu adin lenechlika. Just like nitla is bad, so too nechlika, if you split, it's the same problem. Right? So nitla shiny. Nitla is different because there is no tiyomet whatsoever. At least by nechlika tiyomet is there, it's just split. So therefore, concluding from this part of the Gemara is that Nitla Tiyomet is a problem, whereas Nechoka Tiyomet is not a problem.
Does it have a different name? No, it was the best 5 to 10 minutes to talk about different names.
Shame Kasher?
Yes, exactly. That's it. That's what he's asking. He's asking, if you change it from a Lulav Kasher to a Lulav Kasul, you've changed the shame of the item. So that's what he wants to know. Is Nechoka Tiyomet a change from Kasher to Kasul? Kedamri. Tashma, Dabri Rabato, Dabri Bishub and Levi. The Ikedamri says no. Nechlat Yomet, Nasek Mishin Nitla Upasol Shvamina. Nechlat Yomet is the same thing as Nitla, and it will be Pasol. What is Nechlaka Hatiyomet? That, Tosus over here brings down three way machloket. I'll read them with you. I'm not sure that I can distinguish between each of these items, but at least we'll try our best to understand what they think Nechlat Yomet, because it has major nafkuminot for Abu Dhabi. Bahalakha, this will determine what is a kashrut lulav and a pasul lulav. So based on the fact that nechlaka tiyomet is pasul, what is nechlaka tiyomet? So if you look in the Tosfos at the bottom of Tani Vav Amel, it says nechlaka tiyomet, matzari b'tshuvat agonim. Three found of tshuvat agonim, that in a case where nitla tiyomet, Ota, or either here, he says Nitlas Yomet, although the gears to change is going to Bach is Nechaka Atinim Yomet, which probably makes more sense, but does make a big difference here in the halacha. But Nechaka Yomet, Ota Hutahel Yom. That high leaf, right, the top leaf, Berosh Alulav, Shein Hutah Lamalam, no, there's no leaf higher than it. Shehu Gishne Hutin, Dvukim Bazeh Bazeh, is like two leaves that are stuck together. Vinikra Tiyomet. It's actually two separate leaves at the top, the high point, that are actually tied together. That he has explained this way. Says we would never have a lulav kasher. Says it's impossible to find a lulav like this, where both that they have two leaves that extend up as the tiyomet, and they are not nechuka, they are not split. Even one out of 500, we cannot find the love that is kasher like this. That's not a psul. That's only if it was originally better, and then it split. That it changed from its original status. But if it never grew like that, don't have to worry about it. Over kuntres pirish, Rashi explains. These two upper leaves that are up above, Shesham Kalaha Shidra, that they are the spine ends, Nechlaka Demize, Venistakaha Shidra. They split from each other, and the Shidra broke down till this point of the spine, Adalim Shalmatamehen, until the leaves that are below them. So this is, according to Rashi, Nechlaka Atiyomet. Sounds like the Geonim, but the difference between Rashi and the Geonim is how far it has to split. Yeah. Right. According to Rashi, it has to split down until it's affecting the Shidra. I mean, that's how far down it's affecting the Shidra? The next leaves down. So if they're split all the way down to the point where they're reaching down to the next leaves, it's already impacted the length of the Shidra, or into the Shidra. That's the problem of Nechlaka HaTiyomet, according to Rashi. Right. According to the Geonim, right, you have to have the two top leaves be not split at all.
If they grew that way,
right. If they grew that way, they can't be split at all, which is, to be honest, it's not so easy to find. I mean, today, Baruch Hashem, we're able to find more of these, but it is difficult to find, because generally they are slightly apart at the top. That's, you know, one of the chumros, one of the hidurs that you search for, and a love is to find it where it's really at the top. It's totally closed at the top, right? So that you don't have this, even according to the Gaonim. Yeah, so then you know now that what your odds are, 1 in 500. To find such a lulav.
Isn't that easy?
Yeah.
Right. Although that was in Europe where they did have difficulty getting lulav in general.
Familiar.
Now the last chat. Voda Marie, the Yesh Mepashim, called Ale Alulav Kufulim Kolachadashnaim. Every leaf in the lulav is a double leaf. I mean, that's what we know today, right? You pull off a leaf of lulav, you can split them into two. The Yesh Barosh Alulav is Zubashidra, Bezalim, Yotimimimeno, Shkolachad Kufulishnaim. Top of the lulav is these two leaves that both are Kulim. Kashar Aleulah. V'otom Shnaim Alim, Ayosimi Rosh Shidra Nikayim Tiyomet. And these two leaves that go out at the top, they are called the Tiyomet. Right? V'ahanu Bayi Nechaka Tiyomet Mahu. Im Nechaku Zemizeh, Zahainu Ksat Min HaShidra, a bit of the Shidra, I mean the top, like the Gilchim. Miyuim Rova Luluvim, in same thing as it. Most of the Luluvim don't look like this. Now I don't understand, I'll be honest with you, I don't understand what how the reed is different necessarily than the Gilchim. He sounds the same thing, just adding an additional fact, which is that each leaf is a double leaf. But not that that's what the Gemara is asking about, the double leaf being split. He still seems to indicate it's got to do with the Shnei Alim at the top being split. And he says, right, which has the same problem as the Gonim, because it sounds like he's saying the same thing as the Gonim. Although I don't know why that Tosfos brings them, but it sounds like it's a separate opinion.
It sounds like maybe what you're saying is that all the way down you have double leaves. At the top, you have two double leaves that are joined together.
Right.
And that's the difference.
That has to do with the thing.
Versus what? The Gonim say they're two leaves at the top.
But you can understand that as meaning two leaves meaning just a single double leaf.
Oh, that. I don't think so. Oto hutzal yom roshav lev she'en hutzal amalei mena. Hukish shnei hutzim dvukim zeh bezeh. It's like two hutzim that are glued together. I don't know. That'd be strange. Then I don't know how he couldn't find Achad Mecheshme Echameshme. How did they not find that? That's almost always that way. The top leaf is not split. mean, the leaf itself is never split, the top leaf. That's very unusual that you would find that that they do a split. I mean, how could you not find one in 500 then? That's why I didn't understand the... All right, I don't know how to differentiate between it, but just know, four and a half kaminos, the Sukkot. Come back, I'm looking for the camera again. All right, Papa. I want the guzzle Afram and Chavrei. Someone who steals dirt from his friend, and then he makes it into bricks. Clay or dirt, and makes it into bricks, volcanic. That's on it. My time is the Mishavah of Afram. No problem. We can make it back into the same fire it was before. We can crush the brick and give it back to him. There's no real change here. Levinta of Abde Afra. Yes. Yeah, Levinta. That's the type of Levinta over here. I mean, dried mud or even baked. I mean, they can be returned.
Well, like you
grind it. Yeah, you just grind it back. You can go back to the original diet. It's not that there's no additive here. Yeah, there's no additives here. It's just mud bricks. These aren't anything of significance. My time, the other Mishavah Afra. Levinta, what happens if you have the brick of Abde Afra? Then he makes it into dirt. There he's honey. So my Amar. Dilma Hadar Babdi Levinta, why not? If it's just baked bricks, let him just make the brick bag with the afak. My answer is very important in principle. She says, Bab Levinta Achritu. It's a totally different brick here. So Rashi says, because Yavshab is some thing, which is an interesting line in Rashi. Rashi says, you can't make it perfectly like the old brick. You can't make it the exact same proportions and size as the old brick. Therefore, it's funny because I showed Bodukan. It's a new brick. You can't claim that this is the original brick because you can't reformulate it going through actually the exact same brick. You could have just argued, Panim Kadosh Alayim, that every time you make a brick, even if you're able to get it to the exact same proportions, it is a new brick. It's nothing, not everything forms in the exact same way. It's not that it binds. There's so many other factors to make up a brick that it's just not, it looks the same, it's just not the same exact brick that you had before. Zvamara Papa, I'm on the Gazel Natcha Mechavrei, person who stole, sounds like a, ingot, or not really ingot, but even a piece of silver, like a brick of silver. And he made it into money. Look, honey. Why? My time. No problem. We can melt those coins right back down, and you can add the silver. First, it's not about piece. First, it's about on the weight of the silver, not the form of the silver. So if you melt the coins back down to silver, he gets the same weight back. He doesn't care. Zuze Babde Nazka. So this is what she was asking about. We had to. He has money that he made into brick, right? He made it into silver. Kani, then he's konet. Mayamar, hadar avadu zuze. No, you go and he can mint the coins again. It takes the silver, remint the coin. Panim chadashot balukan. Again, when you're forming a coin, when you're making it into a new coin, then you're talking about panim chadashot because.
You can't be arrested.
Right, you can't be. Right. you can't form the same exact coin according to Rashi, or the way we're trying to say it is that. Whatever coin you make, it's not the exact same coin that was there before. It's a new item. It looks the exact same, but it's still a new item that you created over here. In their day, minting coins was not necessarily legal because the coin's value was based on its
weight.
Right? It had to do with the weight of the coinage plus the symbol, whatever. So you could mint. Anybody could mint coins in their days. It was not left up to the government. You could mint, as long as you had the right form of the people, you could mint any coins because the value was the actual weight in silver, the weight in the true value.
Over the soak of the pshat, what was that? It was the heaviest denomination.
Well, the denomination was accepted by everybody, which just means that the coins wear down.
Oh,
that's a problem that the people have, that shahuk, a coin that is shahuk that's worn down, will people accept it for its value, its true value? Or are they going to say, no, it doesn't have the silver value anymore because it's been worn down, it's gone bad, and that type of idea. Over the soak are coins that were, of a metal and a size that everybody accepts and a weight that everybody accepts. That way, explain it that way. Shchimei, garnish.
Modern, processing where molds where everyone does come out identical.
Well, so I would say, according to Rashi, it sounds like that would not be putting for those shows. I argued, I think that it's not true. I don't think it has to do with the same thing, but I think if you take the same copper and you remint it into coins, right, the way that the copper forms again and the way it goes, it's going to have different chunot slightly, but just because it didn't form the same
thing. It can tell the difference with two pennies.
Right, but that's not the issue. I don't think the issue is about telling the difference. I think that you've created something new. If you create something new, that's funny cut the show to you. I don't think it's a, I don't think it's something that, about, Rashi, I disagree. I'm not saying, Rashi disagrees with this. And, that's not the case. Now, Tulsa slightly interesting me here. He makes the metal into a clay, and don't kosher cats, it's funny. So during the Nesther, a board that you make into a clay, They don't take on. They're still wanted for their original. They're really used, but like their original process. The mud is being used. You form it into a brick to make it easier to make it into a house or to build it up. But it's still mud that you're trying to make into a house. A coin is too. You're using silver. It's in a form that makes it available. Right. That makes it into a currency. But not that the you don't want to get rid of the silver. But when you make it to a coat, again, you're changing the function of the item, and you're really, it's not about the weight, it's not about the value, it's about the function in the context of silver.
It's about the material.
Right. The material that makes it more valuable, but it's not that the material is the key or the focus. Again, according to Rashi, so I think you're right, that if they were able to mint the coins exactly alike, that Rashi would say it's fine. I think there's an argument to say that putting chadashot means that no matter what you form, it's a new form. And now, even if it takes its exact same shape and look, what you've created is something new. Even though it's exactly alike what you made before, but it's still not something different. Alright, now, what's in that case here? Shchime, tarnished metal, vavdinun chadate, and he polishes it up so it becomes new. So why is this lokani? There is not soneh. Chadate, on the other hand, if it was clean metal, vavdinun shchime, and he tarnished them, he blackened them somehow, which is a process of oxidation, which is done on purpose, by starting to create a contrast between the silver and the black, the tarnish. There are many fancy things that people own. They have that, the blackened areas, which are made for right, the purpose of that conscience to have that blackened area. So there, if you make the shkimi kani, my heart, hazar avile chadate, show up, tarnish, you can go back, that blackened, you can go and polish it, and you can take off the oxidization of the metal, and you can return it to its original state. So the Gemara here gives one answer. Mida yodei shkimi kani. Two possibilities. One is the rush is the gear here, which is panim chadashot badukah. It's the same thing as the other answers that we had before. It's panim chadashot, that's tarnishing, and you polish it, it's panim chadashot. The Gemara, on the other hand, because the Gemara assumes that when you polish it, and you bring back you reverse the oxidation process, then it's being created metal. Right, so that's the Gemara here does not answer. The Gemara says, Bidi yadei sheikh mayo. That once an object is tarnished, you can polish it, but it will always return to its original oxidation, meaning that a lot of the polishes today, the silver polishes, have actually an antioxidant in them that prevents it from oxidizing faster again. But in general, if you polish the silver, once it's oxidized, it will always revert back to that oxidized state. That means it's really just a temporary solution to polish it, and that the permanent state is really the tarnished state will reverse itself all the time and will continue to reverse itself. So therefore, you can't really, it's a cover-up, not really a reversal.
It can never achieve its original luster.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what he's saying.
As soon as you finish polishing it, it's already...
It's starting to...
All right, the like the time of this. Dealing with two AMI. Where does it come to include? It says, He steals it left, and it grows up to be an aisle. Right? He steals it when it's young, and it becomes an aisle, becomes a ram. Ego is in the calf and at this shore and becomes an ox. That's shinui biyadov kano. That is enough of a shinui that it becomes his. The tovach umachar shalohu tovach shalohu mocher. The tovach umachar after that is his property. The tovach and that's considered a shinui to be kshat abzila. How gavro? The gazel panto padna the Torah. He stole a semed bakar. Stole two shvarim that were tied together like in a yoke. He went ahead and he plowed with them. And then he planted with them. So Fajrino Lamar, he brings back the shvarim to the owner and says, here you go, here's shvarim back. Also Lamar, come to Rav Nachman, went to Rav Nachman, Amalu, Zilu Shuma Shvacha the Ashkoch. Go assess the value of these shvarim created in his field. He goes assess how much additional value they created with the plowing and the planting of the seed, and then he's going to have to return that to the original owner. All that was done in the land, all the additional value created by the plowing and by the planting, that's all created by the shvarim, but not by the land itself. I mean, that it's a joint effort here. I mean, that all the shevach doesn't just come from the shvarim, the shevach also comes from the land itself. How did you just assess it? How do you say, assess it and have to pay the whole thing? You'll pay 50%. It's never said go rain. So 50% will go to the bala shore, and 50% will go to the bala karka. So he'll get 50, you have to pay back 50% of the Sheva.
Why does he even have to pay back that? Nothing to do with what
was Amalei.
It was direct to the Sheva.
Right. Amalei, soap, the Zayn Lahu. But Hadra Bainan. What's the previous question? He stole Shvarim. He handed the Shvarim back. What else do you want from him? Why does he have to, why does he have to give him anything, right? It's not. I'm Kolakazalim, Shalim, Kishatak Zayla. They pay at the time that they buy. He sold the shvarim. He owes them shvarim. He has the back shvarim. Those are what's the value of the shvarim that he took. Anything that transpired in between is irrelevant over here. Especially irrelevant, number one, because it's Keshat Zilai, he's Koned. Number two, it's like amazing, even more so here, the output that the Shor creates, is that really Shevach that is Shayach with Zilai Mo? Right? Does it really belong to the Zilai itself? Right? We had that discussion when it came to Shor Tam and Shor Mulad. Right? Shor Tam doesn't belong to the Guf HaShor. It belongs to the Aliyah. It does belong to the estate, but not to the Guf HaShor. That's not considered a part of the Shor itself. Didn't I tell you? What I'm doing, when I'm judging, you keep quiet. Damar Huna Chavran Eli, he says, Huna Chavran, our friend says about me, Anna Bishpur Malka, I, Shpur Malka is the nickname for Shmuel. I am Shmuel Achei Dina, our, you know, super Dayanim. So since we're super Dayanim, you shouldn't be questioning us, because we're acting like Dayanim, and sometimes you're not going to understand what it means to be a Dayanim. Why? Hainish, Kazmana Tiko, these guys were recurring thieves. Ubina Iknese, and I had to dissuade them somehow. These guys are recurring problems here. So you're true. Mika Alokta and Okanami, they shouldn't have to pay the Shevach here. But we have to create a disincentive for them to steal because they are on a recurring basis stealing, and we're not seeing any remorse here. So we're going to increase the penalty here so that they would rethink about stealing over here.
Instead of renting, they would steal, they would use it, and then take it to the
Here's your Shemar back, no problem. Right, exactly. So they were, and again, this knot was to dissuade them from continuing this practice. Right? Mishnah, it happens to be Rav Nachman in general, was a Dayan, and he really, you see that a lot of Ksubos, a lot of the cases came before him, and he was a Dayan that understood that certain things have to be, even though Halakha, that he knew that the Halakha had to go this way, otherwise you're not going to end up with the right outcome. That even though it sounds wrong, or even though it doesn't seem right, but it has to be that the Halakha comes out this way, because otherwise we're going to have a recurring problem, or we're not going to come out, adjudicate. Difference between the academics and the right, the Dayan, the practical. So the Rav Nachman's always that you see that Rav Nachman's a Dayan. He has questions because he was a Dayan. He did things, but you see that he was very focused on the outcome and the societal influence of the Pesach Halacha, how it can impact the people. The Pesach Halacha. That even though maybe the din can be right in certain instances, but if you do the din, you're going to end up with a muvat, a din muvat, which is that the din will be in a sense. Made into what? Corrupted because of the abuse of the din, and therefore the din can't be this way; it must be some other way. Right, Mishnah. Gazal beimav is kina, avadim is kino. So we saw this quoted earlier. Steals a beimah and got older. Evan and got older. Mishalem kshadik zela. He's koneh the item and he pays kshadik zela. Rabbi Meir Omer, bavadim omer lar shalcha lefanecha. Bavadim, he just hands it back because we saw earlier it's kekarka. He hands it back. Gazal mat beyav nizdak. Steals a coin and he damages it. There's a hole, cracks it, damages it. Peros yirkivo, steals fruit and they rot. Yayin yachmit, wine and it turns into vinegar. Shalem, shatim zela. These are all changes that you make him the owner of the item. He has to take shatim zela. Matbea v'nisal, so today this is your question. He takes a matbea that went out, the currency that went out of service, went out of circulation. Truma v'nizmeit. Right, so truma, and it became tamei. Chameit v'rval lava bezach, minyona dioma. Chameit, and it was over lava bezach. Beima v'niz avda. Bema that was worshipped, that was never done to it. Osh and if salami al gabi mizbech, game pasul mizbech, osh ayta yusab sakel, or it's now going to be taken to be sakel, omer lo, or shokha, the fanecha. Here's your stuff, take it back.
It's a stirat
of what we said about the lulav. No, so over here, this is a hezek she'enu nikar. Hezek she'enu nikar, which I have to point out here, the difference between all the difference in the Mishnah here, the distinction is between hezek nikar, which you cannot say Arishol Chalef and Echa, whereas Hezek She'enu Nikar, you can't say Arishol Chalef and Echa. By Lulav HaPatsul, it is Hezek She'nikar. Meaning that even though it's... if somebody looks, they'll know that it's a Lulav HaPatsul now, not a Lulav Kasher. Not that it's Patsul, and it's unless the person who knew what happened to it would know that. No, if anybody who looks at this Lulav will know that it's a Lulav HaPatsul.
When we first encountered this Hezek She'enu Nikar, it was another...
Right? So, I mean, kechasha, I mean, what, weakening, like yigarov. I mean, if yigarov also gets weaker, so it's the same type of thing. So, oh, the barrio. He doesn't get better. Just like when you get older, you don't get younger. So too, when he got weaker, it's a case where he got weak and he's not going to return to his original strength. So I'm going to say, that's enough of the shidua that he's koneh. Tavaku machar shalohu toveach shalohu mocher. So we see that, and Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing, that when you become a zakein, right, that is enough of a shinoi, that since it does not return to its original state, that's considered a shinoi for a kinyan. So he says, Amalei, lav aminu lecha lo tachlit gabre. How many times have I told you to quote things by the right people? Because he quoted it in the name, how we made the Rabbi Eloi. We saw this quote right before the Mishnah, and it was quoted in the name of Rabbi Eloi. And over here, Rabbi Chista is quoting, Mark Shisha Brain Rabbi Chista is quoting to Ravashi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. He says, please quote it right. If you're going to quote me something, please quote it correctly. Rabbi Meir Omer, Babadim Omer Lo, Arei Shel Chalifanech.
So, Rabbi Yochanan does not necessarily hold this way?
Right, well, we don't know, but I don't think, Mikar Alachal, I don't think Ravashi is addressing the Lachic issue here about whether this is right or wrong. It was just addressing, if you're going to quote me, then quote me the right thing. I quote it accurately. I mean, the statement of Rabbi Eloi seems to be supported by the mission. I mean, that becoming old is a shinu. Amar Rav Kanina bar Dimei, Amar Rav, Alokha ki Rabbi Meir. Rav says, Alokha is like Rabbi Meir. Rav Shavik, Rabbanan, Rav ki Rabbi Meir. I could be the Rav, leaves the Rabbanan and passes him like Rabbi Meir. Imre, Mishum, the Bright Seifcha Tanya. Because the Bright says the position is reversed. Remember earlier on, we saw that in the Gemara. That this case of Rabbi Meir, according to Rav, who flipped the positions, we didn't have a problem in the position of Rabbi Meir. And before we had a question about Rabbi Meir, Vashino Yabim Komo Omeid or not Bim Komo Omeid, whether Rabbi Meir holds with that, and whether he was saying Dibri the Rabbanan or not Dibri the Rabbanan, that was all based on this idea that Rav flips the positions over here. Rav Shavik Matzis and Rabbi Kibraisa, why did Rav leave our Mishnah and then go like the Braisa that flips the opinions? Rav Matzis and Nami Ipcha, Tani. So Gemara says, no problem, Rav flipped our Mishnah too. Says, Umay Tami the Rav, the Apik Matisa Mikami Braisa. Why would Rav flip the Mishnah? Because of the Braisa. Adarav, Nipech Braisa Mikami Matisa. Flip the Braisa, make it look like the Mishnah. So Rav Nami Matisa Nipcha Atnet. So Rav also found our Mishnah flip, Vibais Ema. Meaning that Rav's original Mishnah didn't look like our Mishnah. His Mishnah looked in the reverse opinion. That's one possibility. Vibais Ema, Kiloapu Chad Mikami Chad. When do we say a Braisa does not trump a Mishnah? That's why it's a Mishnah versus a Braisa. When we have two brisos that have the positions flipped, then we definitely flip the Mishnah and say the Mishnah was incorrect. The Tanya, what's the second briso? One briso is our Mishnah, which has the opinions flipped. The other briso is a machli parah b'chamor. Person exchanges a parah b'chamor v'yalda, and it gives birth. V'chena mocher shivchato v'yalda, er yisel the shivcha, and she gives birth. Zeh omer b'shuti yalda, v'hala shotek zachaba. One guy says, listen, the woman gave birth, the shivcha gave birth, or the animal gave birth in my possession. The other guy says nothing. Then zachaba, because that's a bari claim against the shtika. Because the bari against the shtika is konel over here. We give him the rights over here because bari adif. Now Tosfos says that's good according to one who says that bari is adif. When one says the bari is not adif, then you have to say over here that the shtika is goda. We're looking at the shtika goda over here. And that's why it's the bari is adif. Each of them says, I have no idea where it was born. Yachloku, they split it. Each of them makes a bari and bari claim that it was born to me. Yishabaha mocher, shebishuta yalda. Mocher takes a shvu'ah that was born in his possession. Lefi, shekola nishvaim shvatara, nishvaim v'lo mishalmim, divere bimeir. When it comes to a shvu'ah, the shvu'ah was always incumbent upon the one who will take the shvu'ah and not pay. We don't say that you take a shvuah. All the shvuahs that say, I take a shvuah and then I collect, those are shvuahs de Rabbanan. Shvuah de Raita say is a shvuah that's potermi, like by Shomer Chinam, by Shomer Sachar, Shomer Chinam goes and says that it was what? He takes the shvuah that was Gneva, Aveda, and I'm Patur from Gneva and Aveda. That's why I'm Patur over here. Shomer Sachar says it was Ones, and I'm potermi Ones. So you have to take a shvuah, and that's how he makes himself Patur. By Moda Mikzah, he has to take a shvuah, and therefore he's Patur from paying. All these cases are shvua to be poter. So over here, there are two parties. Here's the mocher and the lokeach. Right, the lokeach is making a claim to collect, and the mocher is making a claim to keep what he has, to be patur from paying to the lokeach. So if you're going to place a shvuah on somebody, who are you going to place it on? You're going to place it on the mocher, who's going to take a shvuah and then be patur from paying lokeach the ubar. He's going to keep giving the shivcha, but he's going to keep the ubar. Rashi actually says this is the case of modiv miktas. It's really a case of modiv miktas. There's no different than if you took a shivcha and there's arms missing when he goes to bring it to lokeach. Lokeach says, I buy a full shivcha. And the other one says, no, you only buy a shivcha without an arm. So over there, what would you say? You say that it's modiv miktas. So he's going to take a shvuah. So do over here. Yeah, one guy makes a claim, I have a shivcha with ubar in it. And the other guy says, the mocher says, no, you just bought a shivcha. So that's the quick equivalent of a shivcha without an arm, right? Meaning that the baby was a part of the shivcha. He says, you sold me a pregnant shivcha, and it was born, you know, in my possession. The other guy says, no, I sold you a shivcha without anything in it. Right? So that's a modem miksat. That's why Rashi says, why Rashi says it's a din doraisa, because it's modem miksat, and a shivua doraisa.
What?
That's right. I mean, we don't take a shivua on abadim in karkot. So if you don't take a shvuah on avadim and karkaot, what do you see? See from this that avadim, according to the chachamim, are equal to karkaot. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, nishvaim, you take a shvuah on avadim. That means avadim are ke metal kulim. If avadim are ke metal kulim, then the opinion of Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah says Rabbi Shochal Panecha because avadim are karkaot will not apply. So Rabbi Meir believes that avadim are metal kulim and not karkaot. So you see another place where Rabbi Meir's opinion is that avadim are not like metal kulim. Because they're not like metal, I mean, they are metal, they're not like karka, therefore you can't be the author of our mission the way our mission is laid out. So, Gemara says, hi, Allah, Rabbi Meir, Allah, Rabbanami, by the way. Alright, if Rabbi Barishka split, and Rabbi has a reverse in the brain stuff, then what he really saying is Allah, Rabbanan. Why is he saying Allah, Rabbi Meir? Rabbi should have just said Allah, Rabbanan, okay, Gemara, the Maidah, Kisa, but I need to Allah, Rabbi Meir. Based on the flip position, the original, our Mishnah that has it wrong, the Allah is like Rabbi Meir, because that is the opinion of the Rabbanan in my Mishnah and in the Brisos.
It's the same opinion, it's just the name.
Right, which name is associated with it. Now Rashi asked your, a little bit of your question. Rashi discussed why when it comes to the Shivcha, it says that he paid money for the Shivcha. By the Para, it says that he was Machlif Bechamor. So Rashi says, why? Because by a Shivcha, Shivcha is a din of Karka. Shivcha is a din of Karka, you can be Koneh Bekeseh. So therefore, there's a possibility that they were calling the Shivcha, and they didn't see the Shivcha. Nobody knew where the Shivcha was. And now the Vlad is born, without anybody knowing where the Vlad is born. It's possible she's in neither of their Rishiyot. She could be anywhere, and they could be calling it because the Kinei and the Kesef. Now that is not true by a, Rashi at least says, this is not true by a Behema. In Behema, there's no Kinei and a Kesef by Behema, you need a Kinei and Mishicha. If you have a Kenyan Mishicha, there's nothing to talk about because you're looking at the animal. When there's a Kenyan Mishicha, you know if the baby was born or not yet. So Rashi says it has to be a Kenyan Chalipin. So that's why they don't know what's going on over here. There was a Kenyan Chalipin. The Kenyan Chalipin took place. Since the Kenyan Chalipin took place in another place, which is, he pulled the Chamor, he's Moshech the Chamor, the Parah, we don't know where the Parah is, it's Koneh, right? The Kenyan Chalipin. Now we have no idea what the animal gave birth. I mean, that's something. Where it gave birth? I mean, depending on where you need something, not just to be, but Kenyan Chalipin. But assuming it could be in any, you know, a certain property where we don't know where it's born and who it belongs to. So that's what Rashi says. The case here. Tosfos disagrees. Rashi makes a definitive statement that you cannot be koneh the behema with money. So Tosfos says, I don't understand. He says, who's this opinion like? This whole case here is according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir believes that a shivcha is metalkalin. So if a shivcha is metalkalin, then what proof do you have? Right, there's no difference between a shivcha and a behema. I mean, if you could buy a shivcha with kesef, that means you should be able to buy a behema with kesef. If you can do a chalipin, you should be able to do a chalipin with both. That's what Tosfos says. I don't believe what Rashi says, that you can't be kone a behema with kesef, because according to the Meir, you can be kone a shivcha. So it says that, based on that, it's just that those are the, that's just the case, that's just the normal way that people do it. Right? People in general do kinyan chalipin by animals, and they do kinyan kesef by shivcha. Although Tosfos says in the end that maybe it's a position that we mentioned before, that you could still have, right, the Gemara over here makes an assumption, a learning assumption, that if you say there's no shvuah by karkaot, you're not nishvayim al evadim, below al karkaot, the fact that you're not nishvayim on an evad means that you think an evad is in talisman. So it says, why can't you be mechalek? Right, you could be mechalek and say that evad is like karka for certain things, and like metalisman for other things, which is, we pointed this out earlier, that's such a possibility, that even if you say for certain items that evad is a, right, like a metalisman, you could argue that when it comes to mechkar and other things, that maybe they still have a din of karka, even though by gazlanim and shvuah, They have the same din. Why? Because they're in the Mekish. We saw this earlier in the Masechta, that the Prat Kfal Prat, the Kfal Prat Kfalah that we use for Nishba'in and for Zeilah, the exclude of a din, is the same Kfal Prat Kfalah that we use. And therefore you see there's a Hekish between Shavu'ah and Gazlanin. So there's a Hekish between Shavu'ah and Gazlanin. We can prove by Shavu'ah, right, of a din or Mekazlan, and certainly by Gazlanin it's the case. But that's not necessarily true in a broader context of Kinyanim. Maybe not. Maybe an Eved is still like Karkov and those other things. And these two items are the only items that have this specific halakha. Okay, we'll stop.